I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, the life and sometimes lonely times of former running back Cookie Gilchrist. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce this week from South Carolina for a look at the news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
Quarterback Eli Manning was on the Giants' injury list on Wednesday due to a stomach bug, and Tom Brady of the Patriots also missed a Wednesday practice with a bad non-throwing shoulder, so it's 49ers and Ravens in the Super Bowl, right?
Nah, they both came back after one day. I mean, this is all silliness. We're taking care of ourselves. It's late in the year, and stomach bugs can put you out because you don't want to practice for a day.
The NFL postseason always features lots of statistics, and one of the more impressive numbers to emerge this time around is 562. That's the number of runs, receptions, and kickoff returns that Patriots running back Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has tallied in his four-year NFL career. But why is that number 562 so extraordinary?
Because it's the most anyone's ever gone without fumbling the football, and I guarantee you, as impressed as you may be by it, Bill Belichick is much more impressed by it.
While the 49ers have been preparing to host the NFL Conference Championship at Candlestick Park, the teams plan to move their operations to Santa Clara hit a roadblock, or at least a speed bump. A group of Santa Clara residents has forced a referendum against an $850 million loan for a new stadium. What's the matter with these folks in Santa Clara? They aren't ready for some football?
Yes, the We Decline to Be Swindled Out of Our Socks caucus
is
exercising its muscle out there. And it will be very interesting to see if they can withstand it if San Francisco somehow manages to get to the Super Bowl and win it.
We now know why the Jets did not fulfill Coach Rex Ryan's prediction that they would win the Super Bowl. This week, running back LaDainian Tomlinson described the chemistry in the Jets clubhouse as, quote, as bad as any I've ever been around. And so that explains everything, right?
Yes. A couple of weeks ago, Greg McElroy, the backup quarterback, pretty much said the same thing as Tomlinson. Of course, everybody dismissed that because who's Greg McElroy? He's the backup quarterback and nobody listens to them anyway. LaDainian Tomlinson is a little bit harder to ignore. And I've got to think that the ground under Rex Ryan's feet is trembling a little more than it usually does when he walks on it.
The President of the United States announced this week that the 2011 St. Louis Cardinals were, quote, the greatest comeback team in the history of baseball. And I know he's got that wrong because I remember the 1951 Giants and then there were the 2004 Red Sox. What do you think?
I was about to say he just lost Curt Schilling's vote again.
I gather Vice President Biden made an even more controversial sports-related statement this week. What could he have been thinking about when he told a crowd in San Francisco that the Giants were on their way to the Super Bowl?
Well, either he's got New York and San Francisco messed up, or he's got baseball and football messed up. I don't know which is worse, actually. This is what happens when you elect a vice president from a state with no professional sports.
That'd be great if he had them both mixed up. That's what I'm hoping for. A bottle of cold medicine at his side, LeBron James led the Heat to a 98-87 win over the Lakers on Thursday night. Is L.A. worse than expected, or is Miami even better than people thought they would be?
Well, to borrow a phrase from Natalie Portman in the underrated movie Beautiful Girls, the L.A. Lakers are pretty much a dude in flux right now. They're waiting to see if there's going to be some sort of major trade made, which will get Andrew Bynum out of town, Dwight Howard into town. They are a little bit older than most teams, and yes, they are perhaps half a step over the hill.
When the Lions booked Nickelback to be the halftime entertainment at last year's Thanksgiving Day game, 50,000 fans petitioned against bad music. This week, the Detroit Pistons announced that Vanilla Ice will be performing at halftime on February 3rd. How many fans are going to sign that petition?
Remember a few years ago, Bill, when the Indiana Pacers and the Detroit Pistons got into a massive brawl at a basketball game in Detroit? This could be worse.
For a completely different reason.
And no judge on earth would convict the crowd if it went mad watching Vanilla Ice.
The Texas Rangers opened the vault to the tune of $60 million this week on behalf of a 6'5" Japanese pitcher named Yu Darvish. How long before some witty scribe begins describing him as the whirling Darvish?
I was going to say, if he's got Louis Tiant's windup, I will pay cash money for the first person who resists the temptation.
MLB heard Brewers left fielder Ryan Braun's appeal of a doping suspension on Wednesday. The slugger will accept his Most Valuable Player award tonight. No major league player has successfully appealed a positive test. I wonder, will Braun's MVP status help or hurt him in this?
This is an interesting question. I don't know. I'll be interested to see what basis on which Ryan Braun is making his appeal. I don't like his chances because baseball is very heavily invested in its war on some people who take some drugs. So I suspect that he will wind up being able to look at his MVP award during his suspension.
Veteran pitcher Jamie Moyer has accepted an invitation to the Colorado Rockies spring training camp, which is news because
he's like 112 years old.
He's only 49. He's a mere boy.
He's 49 years old. Mama, let your babies grow up to be left-handed pitchers because they'll always have a job.
The Australian Open is underway in Sydney, and for the first time, no American man made it to the fourth round.
No!
So I don't know if the sky is falling in South Carolina, but I'm sure it is elsewhere.
Yes, I've noticed people weeping in the streets down here, the lack of American male tennis prowess.
Former finalist Marcos Bogdatis has set a record at the Australian Open. During a changeover in his loss to Stanislav Wawrinka, Bogdatis broke four rackets. Two of them were still in their plastic wrappers. How do you think his equipment sponsor feels about that exhibition?
Well, first of all, it still leaves him too shy of the record set by Pete Townsend on the Murray the K Tour of the Americas with the Who in 1966. A good workman, Mario, never blames his tools, much less reduces them to shrapnel.
Tiger Woods is criticizing his former coach, Hank Haney, for a forthcoming book. Woods says writing a biography about a friend is, quote, unprofessional and very disappointing. For his part, Mr. Haney says, quote, anyone who observes greatness likes to share it. Who wins that philosophical debate?
I don't know, but I think James Boswell somewhere in the beyond is throwing up right now. I think Mr. Haney wins. Mr. Haney wins there because Mr. Haney's the one who's going to make the cash out of the deal.
And finally, Charlie, the organizers of the FIFA U-20 World Cup in Bogota, Colombia, are being criticized for one particular hire that they made during the event. What was it that Jorge Elias Gonzalez was employed to do exactly?
He was employed to make it not rain. Apparently, he's an anti-dowser or an anti-rainmaker. He casts spells where it doesn't rain.
And it didn't rain on the final ceremony, so I don't understand what all the complaining is about.
I don't either, but the guy doesn't have a multi-million dollar contract from Major League Baseball within the month. Somebody's asleep at the switch in New York.
Charlie Pierce writes the politics blog for Esquire, and of course he joins me each week at this time on Only a Game. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Bill.
Here comes that rainy day feeling again. Soon my tears, they will be falling like rain.
If you'd like to comment on something you've heard on Only a Game, please leave a message on our listener line by calling 617-353-1860.